We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for Ken Laird.
Ken, do you want to weigh in on that?
Ken Laird. Ken Fake Take Laird.
And Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Nick, what's up, baby? How we doing?
All right, Tom Brady just said, Nick, what's up, baby? Let me check that off my bucket list. Awesome.
That's right. What else you got on there? Let's mark some of these off while you got me.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Laird and Fitzy on WEEI.
You know, we're just working together to see what's going to happen. I'm not sure what Gordon's decisions will be come free agency, and so we're anxiously awaiting that, but it really didn't have any bearing on anything that happened today.
Danny Ainge after the draft may not have had a bearing on the draft, but it's got a bearing on Ainge's reputation now, that's for sure. He is getting mostly killed by Celtics fans,
skewered
in the social media spectrum and on the text line. This hour of Laird and Fitzy brought to you by Feldman Surveyors. Although some of the Celtics reporters, including our guest John Corrales from Mass Live last hour, saying what could Ainge have done with this kind of a contract, unless there was a deal from Indiana on the table for Miles Turner, as Gary Washburn indicated, that he turned down and trying to get a better deal. And then Gordon Hayward said, enough of this, I'm just going to Charlotte, especially when Michael Jordan called last night for the report. What could he have done? Do you buy any of that? Or, I mean, unfortunately, this is now the third free agent to leave for nothing, and as a previous texter pointed out, you had a year to plan for this.
Yep.
And you just can't afford to have had it come and not have any answers for it.
That's a trend. That's not an accident. That's not bad luck. This isn't happen chance. This is a legitimate trend. Three All-Stars within 2 years piecing out.
Also not making a deal with a trade deadline last year at all of any kind to help out some deficiencies.
And then what happened? When you didn't bring in another big, when you didn't find another bench scorer, guess what happened?
You got Bam Adebayo to the playoffs.
You got Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, and Herod.
Now, this text from about 20 minutes ago is an interesting one. I think a lot of people, I'm not an expert on NBA cap maneuverings, but this is a frequent one from the 603.
Okay.
Hayward's not worth $20 million a year, never mind 30. Isn't this a good thing that the Celtics get to save $34 million and use it for some other player? I'm so confused. Maybe we don't get that player now, but we have the money for later.
I don't believe, Ken, that they are able to just turn around and use that $34 million outright.
Correct. The long story short is they're above the cap. They're below the luxury tax, okay. But you can only spend above the cap to keep your own players. Therefore, that's the Bird exception for keeping your own guys.
Uh-huh.
They now have a, quote, mid-level exception, which is about $9.3 million to sign on a guy. And maybe that's Paul Millsap. And they also have a third-string play, a biannual two-year deal max at $3 million per year, so they could sign like a third stringer. So because Cantor
fire
left,
up the duck boats,
and because Gordon left, they're below the luxury tax, which is good, but they can't take that $34 million. They could have spent it only on Hayward because was their own guy.
Correct.
And it's frustrating. It's weird NBA salary cap maneuverings and minutia, but that's the way it is. And Ainge knew this full well.
You don't just get to turn around and say, hey, best free agent available right now. How would you like one for 34? Hayward said no to it. What say you? It doesn't work that way. Not mid-level exceptions.
Oh, jeez. Man. Phil in Worcester up next. Hi, Phil.
How you doing? First-time caller. I was happy to turn on your show. Much of what is being said is being said by all stations. But I do think the real primary interest for the Celtics is and will continue to be Tatum. And I think prior to them doing anything else, Tatum has to be signed. Everything's about money in sports. This is not anything that's really that complicated. And they were going to just wait it out. And right now, their absolute focus is Tatum. And if they sign Tatum to a max contract, then everything else may fall into place. Haywood didn't have a good time here, as you well know, for the past several seasons. In crunch time, he was not there. Maybe 20-25% of the time, and that they may have had a potential way of working with one of the other clubs. I think it was just the fake end of the line. The Celtics, with no fans in the stands, this is all about money, and they still don't, many of these clubs don't know what the ramifications are, and the Celtics are taking it a little more conservatively in their approach. They still got a pretty good team. But the fact of the matter is, nothing happens until Tatum is signed. And once Tatum is signed, then we'll see a little more movement. If they could have gotten, a trade with Haywood, all well and good. I think they had no interest.
So, Phil, very little interest. Phil, if indeed they signed Tatum, you're fine with Ainge then?
Well, that's just the first step in what else needs to happen. They need, if they don't sign Tatum and there's some minor earthquake there, then there's major league problems. That they could have gotten some of these other ball players with a Haywood trade, and that Danny was holding out for a couple of other players and was saying, no, I don't want to do this until. They're always, very mindful of the foundation of this team, and and the major piece to it is Tatum. And if you don't have Tatum, you're done.
Right.
So there are a lot of other secondary players around, and people will complain. It's great for radio. I'll say that.
That's what we do. We play radio, Phil.
you got me to call, and I rarely call, but. Ainge is not a silly guy, and the ownership, is tighten the belt a little bit, but they can't tighten it with Tatum. And Haywood's gone. Michael Jordan has never been someone that has been a great owner or general manager. That he called to complete the deal. Oh boy, geez. Hooray for Michael Jordan. He hasn't been a GD thing since he's been there, and he's supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread. So,
all right, Phil, thank you very much.
Take care.
I appreciate
thank
the call.
You,
good stuff. It sounds like a Celtics, I don't say green teamer, but like, he's
close enough.
They are still in the mix. Tatum is a great draft pick by Ainge. Nobody's going to take that away. Tatum
nope.
And,
so
and
was Brown,
back-to-back years at number three. Real quick, Robin Haywood has put a social media post up.
Oh.
Quote, contrary to the media in Boston, I have really enjoyed my time there and the relationships I made. I'm going to miss the community I lived in, from the local police officers for checking in on me every day, the wonderful friends I made at Roche Brothers who were always ready to chat when I was lonely, my wonderful neighbors, and of course my friends at the cheese shop. I couldn't have been as happy as I was without all of you. Trust is a hard thing to have in the NBA world, but I do trust my small community always had my back. We are grateful to them for keeping us company while Gordon was away. Excited to see my husband show his talents again and play for Charlotte. Can't wait to start this adventure.
Ooh, excited for my husband to show his talents again.
Ooh.
Read into that, if you will.
What do you think, Bridget?
Was not getting a chance to showcase his talents here appropriately. And by the way, sorry. I hope you enjoyed your time in Wellesley, Mrs. Haywood.
She had an upside-down smiley face emoji and a couple hearts emojis in there, so I don't know.
Oh, the upside-down smiley face.
Yeah. What does that say?
That was in relation to the cheese shop, though, so I don't know. Something. It's a quirky
to the media
post.
Here, I have enjoyed my time.
It didn't sound like Gordon enjoyed his time, but I think you're right. I think the key phrase of that is show his talents.
Mm-hmm.
Do they blame Brad for that? Thank God.
Wow. Interesting that she felt compelled to come out and say that. I'm sure they're lovely people. That has nothing to do with it. It's just been a disappointing time.
Dan in Cranston. Hi, Dan.
Afternoon. How are you?
There he is. What's up, Danny?
Same, you know. Yeah. One quick comment, and if I could go to football, but about the Celtics, is there a chance that ownership just didn't want to go down that route and have the $34 million cap space? Because they got, you know, they were already over. You got to sign Tatum. That's going to be huge. You already get Brown. You get Walker. You know, that's a lot of money to carry. You think there's any validity to that, that the money just, they didn't want to spend it?
I don't know. They were on the hook for the 34 on Hayward in the first place, so they were going to spend it. They were going to make
two. No choice. It was a
player
option.
They had no choice on that guy. They couldn't just cut him.
No, I know, for this year, but I'm saying, like,
going forward?
Obviously, yeah, going forward. Nah. That's what I was kind of going at.
Maybe if Hayward had a good year, maybe they would have looked at an extension, but it wasn't going to be anywhere near the ballpark that he just got, the bag that he just got in Charlotte. No chance.
I think it was, everybody knew he was going anyways. I think the fact that they didn't get anything for him is really the damning thing about it.
But, yeah, and if if everything we've read and everything we've heard today, Dan, is true or true-ish, at least I would say, doesn't sound like Celtics fans. I don't think that Celtics fans right now are, like, saying things to make themselves feel better. I just didn't see, like, there was just really no connection between Hayward and the fans after they lusted for him for so long.
No, and I think Danny's just a whipping boy, unfortunately, through this. But there is a trend, like you said, so who knows. May I change it to football?
Sure,
please.
Very quickly. Hopefully my phone won't crap out, but I said this foundation year thing for about, I tried like three times to finish it, and I never finished my call. But foundation year for the Patriots, to me, was always like, I expect them to go 6-10 or 10-6, right? And I had no expectations whatsoever. What I wanted to see out of this year was, knowing that they have a ton of cap space next year, this next off season, and knowing that there's going to be a lot of really good players available, I wanted them, Belichick, to see what he has as a foundation and then plug holes as much as he can this off season coming up. That's kind of what I meant by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's one guy, we're talking about contracts, I just looked this up. There's one guy that I'm almost assured is going to get cut, and it's the ultimate buy low. It's Odell Beckham. He's got one more year left of guaranteed money, and I think it's like 13.5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has like a $12 million dead cap hit, if they cut him after this year. It's going to be like, he's just one of those guys that I don't see sticking around in Cleveland. And it seems like he's the guy you could get. His money isn't even that bad. He's guaranteed for the next, he's going to sign for the next 3 years, but only next year is guaranteed. So he's a guy that you could get coming off an injury. I think he's 28. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you like to see something?
Here's what it would come down to, since we know he's wanted to play. He wanted to play with Brady, and he wanted to play in Foxborough for so long. I think it would come down to Cleveland doing well enough without him this year that instead of saying, like, oh, how great would we be if we brought him back, rather, we can win without this guy. Let's just keep the continuity and chemistry we have going and, you know, just get something back for him. So 50-50, I would say, depending on how the injury and the rehab goes.
Well, I Googled, like, stories about him, and, like, with the salary cap going down, he's one of the guys that they're going to have a hard time keeping. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. You're going to see the likes of players like this that you would never see otherwise, and that's what I mean. It's going to be a golden season for the Patriots to do something, but they better find someone to throw them the ball if they get them.
That's true, Dan.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
You too, buddy.
Is Stephon Gilmore a part of that foundation going forward? He's under contract next
year. Great question.
Interesting week from him. Give me your minute or two synopsis on this.
Okay.
So Gilmore comes to the podium yesterday, meets the press for the first. He might play tomorrow. It sounds like he will, right?
He's traveled.
It appears like they've made nice, is what it appears like. Mm-hmm. Gilmore and Belichick behind the scenes. He alleges the house for sale was merely to move into the city. I just wanted to move to the city. I like the city. That's why I made that decision. Now, do you find that more or less believable than the Rudy Giuliani, Antifa, George Soros, Hugo Chavez international election conspiracy?
Spin City. Okay. That's the only city that Gilmore's moving to is Spin City. Hey, he knew there was a chance he was going to get shipped out. It's Bill Belichick. Always out a year early as opposed to a year late. And it's not a year early. Gilmore is still in the prime of his career. Maybe he might be, you know, looking at the 10th hole. Maybe he's turned nine and he's looking at the back nine.
So they're blaming the knee injury.
JC Jackson's the future. No.
But did he do himself any good by this whole charade? Like,
I don't think anyone cares.
Anybody cares. I mean, it's Stephon Gilmore. It's the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I don't think locally we make a lot of it because that's what we do. We write, we make videos, we do radio. That's what we do. Out of here? Hell no. No, if there's another team that can get him for maybe a first in the offseason with 1 year left and the chance to assign him to that final big deal that he wants.
Okay, but I just mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you certainly care that he possibly sat out for 3 weeks to create leverage because he thought Belichick was going to trade you.
I don't think he purposely sat out 3 weeks. My theory on this, and it's not been fully corroborated by the peoples that I speak to who know things and also drink, probably not as much as I do, but the idea was that he was sort of in self-regulated load management. Like that knee, he could have probably pressed and played if they were doing much better, if he wasn't possibly going to get traded, if things weren't so wonky a few weeks ago. Probably misses a game, maybe two. But perhaps Gilmore's thinking, all right, am I really going to push this? Am I going to push this for a team that's 3-6 or 2-7?
Well, that's an able move. I mean,
but then they start playing better. They win a couple of games. Now Gilmore's feeling better. And now he'll come back. Watch. He'll play lights out. He'll look fantastic. All he does is help both parties, Ken. He enhances his trade value should the Patriots decide to move on from him this offseason. Mm-hmm. And he enhances his own value because wherever he goes, they're going to say, look at Gilmore. Banged his knee up, came back when they needed him, 4-5, helped him make a stretch run. Maybe they got a wild card, maybe not, but he looked great. We can definitely trust this guy. We can sign him if we're the, I don't know, Bengals, the Lions, the Buccaneers, whoever. They acquire him in a trade, sign him to that final contract.
I think he 100%
was in wait-and-see mode, 100%.
Okay, but he missed the Bills game, which they lost by 3. I'm not saying he would have made the difference totally in that game. Obviously, Cam has the big fumble at the end. But that, like, if he sat out the Bills game.
Oh, I don't think he sat the Bills game out. I think the game he probably sat out was last Sunday.
Which, okay, they won, but it's Baltimore. You know, you're still.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ravens didn't very little in the passing game. But and maybe they wouldn't have needed him on a weather night like that. But still, it's unseemly.
I just think it was one of those.
Your opinion of Gilmore hasn't changed through all this?
I've always thought Steph Gilmore was just a businessman. A businessman with a set of skills that the Patriots definitely needed, rewarded him handsomely for.
But it's just if this is what the NFL has come to when guys pull Le'Veon Bells in the middle of the season to not play.
Oh, it's not a Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell sat out a whole season. This guy already played this year.
But he might have cost them the Bills game, or he didn't play the Ravens game, which might have cost them if they hadn't won the game. I mean, it's a D move.
They're businessmen. This is what they do.
They paid him an extra $5 million to play the year.
I know.
Yeah, it's
did just, that make was that to placate him? Was that to help their own cause?
That's what it felt like. He was going to hold out.
Did it help their cause and cap for next year? That's a good question.
I don't know. They still it's the same contract. They still have to pay the same cap hit, I think, both years. I don't think that lowered their cap next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, all right, so you're telling me there was some there's something going on behind the scenes.
I totally feel like he was in wait-and-see mode. And now they're 4-5. Got to win now, 500. They can do this.
All right.
A lot of people believe and a lot of people buying in, Kenny.
I get to the Joe Judge thing after trending. All right. But real quick on the Celtics.
This
is not a huge, maybe it is a huge deal. I don't know. The Paul Millsap story continues. Adam Himmelsbach, Boston Globe. Mm-hmm. According to a league source, the Celtics are currently at the top of Paul Millsap's list as he considers his options. He is expected to make his final decision today.
Paul Millsap to Charlotte.
Our guy Tyler Devitt, OMF producer, hoops guy here. Fits Brad's system. Not sure if he would start. Probably a bench guy. Could see him as the big man in closing lineups when Brad goes small. Really good three-point shooter out of nowhere. Last year was a leader in Denver. Could be a good fit. Mm-hmm. He and Tice probably evenly split big man minutes at 25 a game. But size and shot blocking would not be addressed with Paul Millsap. So that's the Tyler Devitt snapshot on him if they do sign him today. Which would probably be for that mid-level exception.
I'd take it. I'd take anybody at this point now.
Real quick, Sorge has been hanging out for a while. Let's get him in.
There we go.
Sorge.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
First off, in the spirit of giving thanks, I just want to thank you all at the station for always taking my calls. I really do appreciate it.
Sure.
You guys do a great job. Fitzy, I miss you on the Greg Hill Show and with your impressions. Let's get it here, all right? So with the Hayward situation, I was down in the dumps. But you telling me about Paul Millsap? Yo, Hayward is in the past. Let's talk about the future. If we get a Paul Millsap, are you kidding me?
I think he's as old as Joe Biden,
with
though.
This, he is,
Ken,
see,
with the funny.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the problem. If he's healthy, right, the health is a concern, right? And like you guys said, he's not going to be your starter, right? But what I like is that the Celtics, I think another thing that a lot of people don't talk about is that the Celtics do need some veteran presence, right? Like, when you bring in Kemba, right, he's obviously a veteran, but in terms of the playoffs, he's really like a rookie. I mean, like, this was like his, you know, first basically deep run. And, you know, Paul Millsap in this Denver Nuggets run where they made it to the Western Conference Finals, you know, they basically, he was a big part of that. And
I like that,
I would
actually
love it. Like,
so you're saying, like, this might be the antidote for the problems in the locker room where Marcus Smart was trying to be the leader, but they weren't buying it, but maybe Millsap becomes the leader and Tatum and Brown buy into him.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Ken, here's the thing, right? Marcus Smart is a great guy, but he has no credibility to be the guy that, you know, is that leader in the locker room, right? I always mention this, and people laugh at me, but in 2008, if you guys remember, the Celtics had guys like P.J. Brown and Sam Gasol, right? They made, on the stat sheet, it might say 2.3 points per game, 0.5 rebounds per game, but in that locker room, like, you need guys like that, and I just don't think that gets valued enough. I mean, you can get all the name brands you want, but sometimes, you know, you just got to go to Walmart and get the smart value brand, you know?
All right, I like it. I like that spin.
Good call. I like that.
From Sorgi.
Leadership. Maybe the P.J. Brown type coming into the locker room, setting things straight, laying down the law.
Again.
Tough love. I'm not sure that's comes.
I'm not sure that's going to sell with my buddies in the morning, Curtis and Wiggy, who were ready to fire Ainge before this whole thing, and Brad Stevens.
Wiggy right now is chugging Pedialyte saying, fire Danny Ainge.
All right, let's get the trending here on WEI. We'll get to that juicy Joe Judge intel, which has been
teased
for 3 hours.
A solid 2 hours.
I like it.
Wait.
I think it's a good story.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Let's get the trend.
Trend.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
This trending now brought to you by Bertucci's. Try the new Big Poppy pizza or bundle, and a portion of the proceeds will go toward the David Ortiz Children's Fund. Check out all the great deals. Order online at Bertucci's.com. If you're just joining us, Gordon Hayward signing a 4-year deal with the Charlotte Hornets. 4 years and $120 million. Celtics, as of now, not a sign and trade, get nothing in return. He leaves for zilch. Michael Jordan reportedly closing the deal last night with a personal call to Hayward. The Hornets had tried to sign him way back in 2014. So it's on to whatever plan B or plan C is. Plan B may be Paul Millsap. The Celtics currently at the top of Millsap's list, expected to make his final decision today. And so much for that Pacers deal with Oladipo, Warren, McDermott, Miles Turner, and going back to Indiana to play in his college town. Sony Michel activated from injured reserve. Patriots in Houston tomorrow, 1 p.m. matchup. Join Wiggy and the crew. NFL Sunday, 9 a.m. Keith Foyer and Jim Hackett at 8 a.m. starts off our festivities with the fantasy show. 15 players in all questionable, including N'Keal Harry. He's got a shoulder issue. Red Sox finalized their coaching staff yesterday. They added Jason Veritek as a game planning coordinator. This game looked like a blowout earlier in college football, Fitz.
Yep.
Ohio State, Indiana. Now it's 42-35. Hoosiers ball down 7 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth.
Indiana's sneaky pretty good.
Man.
That's Justin Fields right out there.
That's true.
Had himself a nice game, but Indiana won't go quietly in that good night. You know what? They're playing really well to show Gordon Hayward what he's missing out on.
I like it. It's Laird and Fitzy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
It is Laird and Fitzy. Brian Barrett coming up at 4 p.m. We'll continue the Celtics talk and the Gordon Hayward reaction, I am sure. Quick nugget for the Milwaukee Bucks. They've re-signed Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
3 years, $16 million.
It's over now.
You're re-signing or was he there already? I don't even know. Anyway, free agent Pat Connaughton. Yes, he's back to the Bucks. I thought he was there. Pat Connaughton to the Bucks, 3 years, $16 million. But they missed out on Bogdanovich, right? He was like, it was in Europe.
He decided to go to free agency
deal
himself. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all wild start.
That was wacky.
NBA free agency. All right, now here's a story that I find interesting, and I've teased it for 2 hours.
All right, let's make this pay off.
Michael Silver of NFL Network says that Joe Judge, the now Giants coach and former Patriots special teams coach slash, what was his slash role? Special teams
quality
slash
control assistant.
Okay. And a number of other ex-New England staffers are of the belief that Brady, your boy, Tom Brady, though admittedly, quote, intelligent, end quote, was a product of the Patriots, quote, system, end quote, a scheme that offset many of his shortcomings, including, quote, throwing deep, throwing outside the numbers, and moving in the pocket, end quote. Judge, in particular, who Silver says has exuded an alarming aura of haughtiness in his new venture with the Giants, has gone as far to openly denigrating Brady's abilities.
Oh,
so Judge obviously is not he's a believer in Bill over Brady.
Yeah. I mean, that's his mentor. That's his guy.
Curtis, our buddy, Chris Curtis, has long attributed this quote from Ian O'Connor's book to Chris Sims, a former Patriots assistant, but now he thinks it's Judge. Here was the excerpt from the O'Connor book. One New England assistant said the general feeling among staff members around the time, I'm not sure what time they're referring to exactly, but some time ago, wasn't that Belichick's system could make Super Bowl quarterbacks out of all 32 NFL starters, but, quote, if you gave us any of the top 15, we could do it, end quote.
Hmm.
And now he thinks that's Joe Judge, who was the source in Ian O'Connor's book. But again, this latest report from Michael Silver says Judge and several others are of that belief.
Wow.
It was the system that made Brady. And the further connection here is that Bill Belichick, who is a longtime Giants employee, tight with the Maras, I believe recommended Joe Judge for that job.
Correct. And then there were some who even believed that if Belichick didn't get his way and they kept Brady and he grew frustrated over that, maybe thought, you know, the whole Parcells cook the dinner, can't buy the groceries, etc. Maybe he would have departed for the Giants. Judge was sort of placeholding for him to either coach or front office.
So because Belichick and Judge are seen as so close,
right?
Do you believe that this is Belichick's belief as well? That the system, it's Brady was good, intelligent, but they could have done it with any other of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league.
How come it's so difficult for everyone to think that Tom Brady was going to be excellent to potentially great elsewhere, but that also the system benefited him tremendously? Like, I know Curtis hates that I say it. Other people hate it, too. It's a mutually beneficial relationship that they were in. It was a 20-year marriage that was perfectly tailor-cut to both. Belichick needed a brain on the field. He needed an extension of himself. He needed somebody who was overly analytical, highly critical, and processed things at a high rate and had an elephant's memory. Brady needed a coach who could be a great mind on the sideline and help him develop into more than just a game manager, or more, especially, like, Brady was great in college, but it wasn't like he didn't have the greatest arm you've ever seen. Brady couldn't throw it outside the numbers. Like, he didn't have Justin Herbert's arm. He didn't have a cannon. No one ever said, like, Brady was Jeff George 2.0 with a brain.
Okay, but devil's advocate, Brady has no coach this year, and he's 7-3.
He's learned an awful lot over 20 years' time. B, he's highly motivated. And C, that's a pretty talented offense he's a part of right now as well.
But you didn't answer my original question. Do you believe Belichick feels this way?
No, not entirely. I don't. I mean, he may still bristle at the idea that Brady thinks that it's all him, or that there are people in Brady's camp who think that Brady is much more important than Belichick was. I think Belichick bristles at that for sure. Do I think that Belichick thinks that Brady was a product of his system and just would have been fine elsewhere, but he was great here because of what Belichick and his guys could do? Mm-hmm. Not entirely. I think he believes that Brady benefited significantly from him, but Brady would probably tell you the same.
But if Brady,
if
you had Brady off the record and you read him this report from Joe Judge, he'd be pissed off, right?
Of course he would. He's competitive. Why would he ever be like, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all those incredible throws I made in the comeback in Super Bowl 51, those are just products of the system. They weren't me. I didn't have any real arm talent.
They could have done the same thing with Ryan Tannehill. Could have done the same thing with
Ryan Mallett. Would have done the same thing for them. Kevin O'Connell, it would have been fine. No, of course not. Of course he would have been pissed.
So the
and
question,
rightly so.
The question with Cam Newton is, if Belichick's right, is he a top 15 quarterback? Is he good enough to get the job done, as Joe Judge suggests, or whoever told Ian O'Connor that?
If Cam Newton plays like he has for the past 10 quarters, minus the fumble in Buffalo, hell yeah.
Well, I agree.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And that's why I think Cam Newton not only will continue to win football games, will look better and better and better, despite the fact that he doesn't have the gaudiest passing numbers. And I don't think Cam Newton is one and done here in Foxborough either.
Your buddy Dice, quick to point out, Judge waited until after the Giants-Bucks game to make this statement. Smart.
Right.
Steven Fall River is never quick, but Steve, you got to be quick here. Now, I know he's the quarterback, is all the difference guy.
Of course, yes.
But do you believe this report from Judge that this is how...
I'm sure that people believe that, and we're going to figure this out going forward. The first 8 games of this year tell you everything you need to know. Brady's at his level. And Belichick without Brady is at his level, which is slightly less than 500. Because he had 6 years and 2 games before Tom Brady, and he's had a season and a few games, and it's all the same. It's not just Bill Belichick. There's other coaches that have this issue. Mike Shanahan was 3-1 loss with Elway, and he was 500 without him. Same thing with our friend Pete Carroll. Even though he was 27 and changed wins here in New England, he's 500. But with Russell Wilson, he wins 75% of his games. This is not unique to Bill. The problem is we have made it here, and this medium has created this foolish question. Of course it was a marriage, but guess what? Tom Brady was the CEO of ExxonMobil, and he had a housewife who... kept the books nice and two nice house parties, if you want to have a social example. That's what happened. It was a nice marriage, but Tom Brady was the king of the marriage.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. And it's a question now whether Cam Newton can have the same relationship with Bill. But, God, do they love each other. They continue to gush the football whisperer.
Bill and Cam?
My God, the love affair.
Ken, and you and I have long believed, and we took plenty of guff for it, and we continue to fight this uphill fight that this was not that the COVID fog was legit with Cam.
I think so.
That he was definitely beset by the illness to a degree mentally. And on top of it all, he lost his rhythm. It took him a couple games to get back. You just go back and watch those games and you see he didn't make quick decisions. The ball release was kind of wonky. Everything about what he was doing was off. Everything. And now he looks like the guy who was playing those first 3 games 2-1 with a moral victory that we're all rooting behind, saying, Tom, who, here we go. How did the rest of the league fall asleep and let Cam go to Belichick?
Bad news in terms of Raiders COVID schadenfreude. No new positives, which means all those defensive players should be activated tomorrow when the Raiders play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
They'll still win by 20.
I think so. The Chiefs have struggled this year. I mean, they're 8-1, but
somebody was saying the other day, maybe it was Nora Princiotti, like, it feels like the Chiefs, like, they're like the quietest 8-1. It's almost like they're not even a part of this season. Like, where's the noise being made by how well Mahomes is playing and the offense that they have?
Waiting to turn it on, I guess, until the second half.
Watch out.
Double B, Brian Barrett joins us for the crossover next, and then he'll have you at the top of the hour. Of course, the big Gordon Hayward news. We'll get Barrett's take on that next.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
All right, Fitzmagic, final stretch here. Brian Barrett has joined us. He will take the reins at the top of the hour. Barrett, your quick reaction. I know you have many, many thoughts on the Gordon Hayward signing with Charlotte, but...
I'm looking forward to listening to Barrett just tear into the Celtics.
That's my feeling.
The next
couple
hours.
Ainge will have nothing left.
Rip him.
Yeah. And this isn't me first guessing, because or second guessing, rather. I said last night that the deal's on the table. I believe Gary Washburn's reporting, as I assume you guys both do, that they were saying, hey, we'll give you Miles Turner if Doug McDermott's in the deal, but we're not going to give you Oladipo and Warren. And this is what Danny Ainge did. He overplayed his hand. And quite frankly, the other thing is you don't need Oladipo and you don't need Warren on this team. They don't really make sense with the core of the team anyway. So just take what was on the table. That was basically a situation where I wanted Gordon Hayward out of here to begin with, but you're telling me you can get a young big man that's 24 that goes with the core, and because you wanted more, because you were too greedy, you didn't get it done? I thought it was embarrassing by Danny Ainge.
Some people didn't feel Turner was very much of a fit either, though, because he jacks threes, right? And that's probably the last thing they need is another three-point shooter.
Yeah, but he's somebody that can shoot threes. I mean, his career, like 36%. Shot 2 years ago.
Somewhere
but also,
Marcus Smart is like, ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah, but 2 years ago, he led the NBA in blocks.
Yeah.
Last year, he's over 2 blocks per game. Danny Ainge himself came out and said that Bam was the best player in that series against the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially said that, well, the combination, the poo-poo platter, if you will, of Cantor and Tice and Robert Williams was good in the regular season, not good against the Heat. So you identified your biggest need. You had a chance to, I'm not saying Turner's Bam, but at least he can body Bam and Joel Embiid, and now how the hell are you going to get that player? That player was available.
It's not Paul Millsap?
No. He's 6'7". He looked like garbage last year in the playoffs. He averaged like 7 points a game against the Lakers on like 20-something percent shooting.
Damn,
he's
I was buying this leadership stuff.
He's old.
I was getting spun into the leadership.
Ken was getting sold on his locker room value.
Sword just spun that on me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard that with Kemba, too. Greatest locker room guy of all time. Oh, yeah. How'd that go after game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals? They had a great locker room then.
Who's the favorite in the East after all this? I mean, the Bucks, I guess, are default, but they, you know.
I have a tough time picking against Durant if he's, like, even 90% of what he was. Because, like, the last time Durant was on the court, we were saying he was the best player in the sport. I mean, he had that 50-point game against the Clippers, and he came back against the Raptors. And what did he have, like, 11 points in 12 minutes before tearing his Achilles?
Yeah, before the Achilles popped on him.
Yeah, he was at a ridiculous level. I mean, then there's the whole Kyrie factor, as we all know. But I have a tough time picking against Durant. And Giannis obviously has warts right now. So I would probably go with the Nets, unfortunately. I don't believe the Heat do.
Because they have a good supporting cast. The Nets, like, there's already talent on that roster. And then you add these two guys who are two of the 10 best players in the NBA, so long as their bodies are right and their heads are screwed on straight. What do you think, though? Do you put anything in the idea... And we had some callers clap back at the notion that Ainge didn't overplay his hand, that there was nothing he could do because this offer came in from Charlotte, and then maybe they tried to run that idea by Indiana, like, hey, here's what he's getting from Charlotte. And Indiana was like, yeah, he's not getting that here.
Well, I think it's more likely that they said, what the hell are we doing? You're asking for way too much then. Because Danny Ainge, with Hayward, there was the reporting yesterday from Sham Sharania that he was fully focused in on going to Indiana. So maybe the Jordan call just put it completely over the top, and he said, oh, yeah, I want to go to Charlotte because they signed me all those years ago. But I tend to think that it was more so that Danny Ainge waited too long to pull the trigger on the deal. And he's
me
like,
too.
Oh, I know that Gordon wants to go to Indiana. So I can take my time and get more out of Indiana and try to rip Indiana off. Like, that's his thing. He likes to rip people off, and sometimes you don't need to just to make a good deal. And by the time all that went down, you have Charlotte and Michael Jordan saying, okay, well, we missed out on the player we want. We have more money for you now. Why don't you come play for us? And Gordon's like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Like, I feel like Danny Ainge cost himself too much time. Think about how many deals went down yesterday, like right when free agency began. Just get the deal done. That's what I just didn't understand.
Which, as you point out, the Montrezl Harrell, Charlotte went after him, didn't get him, so they had money to spend, and and that timing makes sense. Boy, that is rough. The way you laid that out, if that's accurate.
It's a really bad look.
Millsap is the greatest leader since...
General Patton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Schwarzkopf, this power forward? Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, though, is everybody's going to say, what's going to happen is people are going to come out for the Celtics and say, oh, well, Danny Ainge, he had no chance because of the order that the offer that Michael Jordan came in with. Well, we know that Gary Washburn is a good reporter, and he had the reporting last night. There was a deal on the table, and we know from multiple people that Hayward wanted to go to Indiana. Yeah. Just recently bought a house there. Like, he wants to live in Indiana, and you didn't get the deal done. I mean, there's no excuses for that.
That's the Gary Washburn
could
report,
be damning.
That is ages-like.
And think about it, if you're Indiana, right? Just think about it from their perspective and all this. They're sitting there, and you're saying, hold on. We're getting Gordon Hayward, who we like, and he's an Indiana kid, and he'll help with our ticket sales and all that. But he was the fourth or fifth best player on your team. And you want us to give you two of our four best players for your fourth best player? Like, Danny, don't come to the table with that crap. What are you doing?
And Miles Turner will be traded somewhere else, too, by the time all this is done.
Yeah. And I can't wait till he comes here and hits a game-winning shot.
Yeah, totally will.
The Garden burns to the ground with no
or
fans.
Or blocks Tatum at the rim like Bam did.
All
right, how long do you want today?
Till 7.
Brian Barrett, 4-7, big shift with a lot of Gordon Hayward talk, and the Joe Judge is hot. I mean, look, Kyle from Hyannis is waiting on the Joe Judge report.
Got him all lined up for you.
Beautiful.
We just lubed him up for you. We got him ready for you, buddy. Bring it home, baby.
Fitzy and I have a Black Friday morning show with Wiggy in the hopper, so pay attention to that.
That's going to be something. While you're while you're socially distanced, shopping, taking advantage of all the great deals, don't pass up on the 3-for-1 special that is Laird, Fitzy, and Wiggs Friday from 7 to 11, the day after Thanksgiving.
Talk to you then. It's WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.